This is KYUK News, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. A blizzard warning remains in effect for the Kuskokwim Delta until 3 p.m. today. The National Weather Service predicts snowfall of 4 to 12 inches and winds of 35 to 45 miles per hour, with gusts up to 60 miles per hour. Blowing snow could limit visibility to 1/4 mile or less and could at times reduce visibility to zero. The worst conditions are expected along the coast. Conditions are expected to improve this afternoon after 3 p.m. Be safe out there. In crime news, in the past month, reports of stolen vehicles in Bethel have more than doubled. Twice, multiple thefts have occurred on the same day. What makes this strange is that Bethel is off the road system. With the river still not fully frozen, there is nowhere to go. KYUK's Greg Kim talked to Bethel police about why this is happening and what happens to the cars after they're taken.
When Chelsea Hoffman went to sleep October 28th, she had no worries. After all, her beloved truck was parked right outside her window.
You can't miss it. It's orange. F-150. Older. It's like an older truck. I love it. She's my reliable gal.
But when her husband went outside the next morning to start it,
it was gone.
Chelsea says she went into a full body sweat.
You just feel so violated that somebody is outside your home while you're sleeping, just rummaging through your things.
She jumped out of bed and called the police. The hunt was on to find it.
I'm so glad the river wasn't frozen because they took my cousin Colin's car and they found it in like Napakiak.
Acting Police Chief Amy Davis says with most stolen vehicles in Bethel, they find the car a few days later. After all, there's only so much road. She says it's often just taken for a joyride.
Usually we or the owner will find them out at the pit or just ditch somewhere.
She confirmed stolen vehicle reports in Bethel spiked last month, up to 8 from the usual 3. She thinks the cold weather might have something to do with it, people warming up their cars.
A lot of times it's just a crime of opportunity, you know, walking by, oh, I see keys in there, I'm gonna take that vehicle.
That happened to Philly's pizza owner, Mathail Salyu, last month. An employee started warming up his truck, went inside, and when he came out, it was gone. But Mathail doesn't blame the employee.
It's cold out there. I bet everybody does that.
The next day, police found Mathail's truck behind Public Health Nursing.
The guy who stole it left his backpack and his ID there. Next thing we find out, he turned himself in.
But according to Davis, not many people leave their IDs in the car or turn themselves in. Most of the time, police never find the thief.
Usually, there's not a lot of evidence unless there's an eyewitness or cameras.
But what about taking fingerprints?
I know, everyone watches CSI.
Davis says police do take fingerprints off of vehicles.
The crime lab is swamped with sexual assaults, homicides, so they're going to get a very, very low priority.
For Dan Mullins, the worst part about getting his car stolen was the timing.
I wish they would have stolen it 2 weeks earlier. Before I got all the work done.
A few months ago, he had bought his burgundy Jeep Cherokee for $500.
Towed it home because it didn't run.
He worked for the next 2 months replacing broken parts.
The starter, alternator, fuel pump, battery, and the rear axle. It's not easy to get parts shipped to Bethel.
When he found his car the day after it got stolen, it was stuck in the mud a few blocks from his house, and it was trashed.
The driver's side door was smashed in. Glasses all over the front seat. Front bumper was hit. The back quarter panel smashed in, and the fuel tank was punctured.
It was tough seeing all his work go to waste.
I had a sense of pride that I took one of those abandoned vehicles and made it work, and then now it's back to an abandoned vehicle.
Although not in the condition he wanted it, Dan did get his car back, and Mathail and Chelsea too, and they all had help. Chelsea says that's the one silver lining in all this.
Once daylight hit, everybody in Bethel is looking for it. Our community is just so awesome in that way. When anything happens, everybody is just very quick to, like, help.
But she doesn't want to go looking for it ever again. Chelsea says she's going to be locking up her truck from now on. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kim.
In wildlife news, the Mulchatna caribou herd is half the size it was 3 years ago. To help conserve the population, state and federal managers have tightened hunting regulations. KYUK talked with the lead biologist overseeing the herd for the state of Alaska about what could be causing the decline. There are suspects, but no identified causes. 3 years ago, there were over 27,000 caribou in the Mulchatna herd. Now, there's less than half that, only 13,500. Perhaps the animals trampled their food, but the herd was not at the peak numbers it once had decades ago. Perhaps there was heavy predation, like from wolves, but predators don't usually cause a population to drop in half. Then there's another theory, overhunting. It's a possibility Alaska Department of Fish and Game biologist Lauren Wattine has thought about.
If caribou are changing their behavior and coming into greater contact with villages than they have in the past, there's the potential that more people are harvesting more animals than we might realize.
And the herd has changed its behavior. It's roaming more in the western part of its range, near the Kuskokwim River in Bristol Bay region, an area with more and bigger communities than the herd's eastern range. And with more communities come more hunters. Caribou harvests often go unreported. There isn't as much oversight on the animals as on other large game like moose or muskox. Also, because caribou cluster densely together, it's easy to accidentally wound or kill more animals than hunters might intend. Last year, only 238 caribou were reported harvested, but surveys of households throughout the Mulchatna herd's range indicate more people are using caribou than harvest reports suggest. To wildlife biologists like Wattine, the herd's decline came as a surprise.
I think people should be concerned.
Indications of the population drop started the year before. Veteran biologists surveying the herd in 2018 were seeing fewer caribou than usual.
Anecdotally, they were seeing less animals in the groups than in previous years.
Now, with the herd at an estimated 13,500 caribou, state and federal managers have imposed restrictions to conserve the population. The state reduced its bag limit to one caribou. Federal managers did the same for animals taken on federal lands. In the Western game units, regulations are even tighter. In units 18, 19A, and 19B, that single caribou must be a bull, and hunters must be federally qualified local subsistence users. Some of those users want the hunt shut down, fearing that this hunting season could wipe out the herd. But biologist Wattine doesn't see that happening.
If people follow the rules of this hunt, they won't wipe out the Mulchatna.
As of last Friday, 79 caribou had been reported harvested. State and federal managers are considering what criteria could close the hunt early. To help them make these decisions, they're encouraging hunters to report their harvest as quickly as possible. This afternoon, join KYUK for a live call-in show about the Mulchatna caribou herd. Share your knowledge of caribou and join the discussion about the regulatory changes. The show is today from 1 to 2:30 p.m. Yukdun in English. Join us. Lastly, the Yukon-Kuskokwim Fitness Center in Bethel just celebrated its five-year anniversary last Friday. Cake, games, and speeches from the people who helped bring the fitness center to life marked the occasion. KYUK's Greg Kim attended for part of the festivities.
Dozens of kids splash around in the pool or line up for the water slide. The hot tub is packed, and at the other end of the pool, an intense bout of water polo is about to get underway. For one of YKFC's biggest supporters, Bev Hoffman, this is a dream come true.
I still pinch myself.
She remembers beginning the effort to build a pool in Bethel over 40 years ago.
Our main purpose was, look at all the drownings, you know, over the years on this river, 157 deaths over the last 11 years.
Now, she says, people can learn to swim and not be scared of the river. Plus, she says the weight room and workout classes at the fitness center are just as important.
You just can't have shelters and jails and treatment centers, all these important things. You need healthy outlets and places for families to go.
For some, the fitness center is the reason they live in Bethel. Kevin Krennick was originally looking to be a nurse practitioner in Aniak or Hooper Bay. But when they told him only Bethel had a gym,
I was like, I gotta go to Bethel. Sorry, I can't go to the SRCs because I have to have a place where I can actually work out.
Now he teaches several workout classes at the fitness center and is here almost every morning and evening.
It's like my second home in a lot of ways because you kind of build a family here.
It's the most beautiful, happy place in Bethel.
Bev Hoffman says the next goal will be adding on a basketball gym to bring more families into the fitness center. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kim.
This is KYUK News. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Thanks for listening. Please email your comments and news tips to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for News Yukdun coming up.